We are sad today, fellas. We are bringing back a fan favorite in the Sadditude era, the Heartbreak Hotel. We are here joined today by two sad dudes. We got Mr. Robert Martier, and that's French.
Dolenko.
Say it. Hit him with it again in case they didn't hear it.
Dolenko.
And joined also by Daniel Darling Starling, also known as...
Well, last time I was Sad Vio Vega, but I'm switching it up today. I'm going to be... It's not quite the Sadditude, but he really kind of sparked it when he jumped over to the WWF. So I'm going to be Johnny B. Sad.
Johnny B. Sad. Very good. Very good. I think I'm going to go with Terry Funk.
Terry Funk.
Yeah. I like that.
I'm upset. I never thought about that.
Yeah.
I was thinking about one for Ludwig Borga all morning. I don't know how, but like.
Terry Funk. Fuck it. We're here.
Terry Funk is a good one. I love Terry Funk.
So we're here and we're just going to. Last time we did, it wasn't so sad. My last episode was a debauchery. You know, it was bad.
Debauchery?
No, brother. Talk about a wreck. It was with two individuals who were dating, said not dating, you know, and it was weird because I assumed when they weren't. So are you guys exclusive? Just want to make sure that we clarify that, you know, off the rip. I don't know why I looked at the camera.
Are you asking if I'm dating Robert Martin?
Yeah.
No, we
want to be clear on all things. You know what I mean?
If I'm dating him?
Yeah. Just make sure you guys are not dating.
I mean, no. He's not really my type. Just I'm not going to lie. He's a dude.
Making sure.
So,
because last time I assumed that these two folks were dating when they weren't.
Oh.
So I'm terrible at things, you know? So let's go ahead and we got that out the way. Robert Martier, we want to talk to you, my friend, about obviously not the business, right? Because we're not going to talk about wrestling. We're just going to talk about your adventure into pro wrestling and your, what is it they call it? Your funks. Then when you go in your moments, you know?
Yeah.
Your what gets you moments. Down in the those, dumps?
Yeah.
Those shitty blues.
Oh, brother. That's good. I might have to get some blues music for that.
Some shitty blues.
I like that. Fuck.
So what I call it, you know, bum rock.
Nice. Yes.
You know, I've had me a bum rock or two.
Hello. Hey. You know?
But yeah, bummer rock. Yeah, bummer punk.
You started wrestling at a young age.
I started wrestling at 14 years
old. 14 years old. So it's safe to say you're a young veteran.
I guess. I mean, five years is 5 years.
Yeah, know? 5 years is 4 years more than 1 year.
Yeah. You
know? Yeah.
But
math.
I look at it as like, when I'm 30, I'm going to be like, holy shit.
You mean 30? I've been 16 years in the business. Fuck.
30 years old.
Jesus. I'm
That's
still
half
young.
Of my lifetime.
Well, Jesus did great things at 33 years old.
Yeah.
So, actually, so will
did
Robert
most
Martin.
Of his things.
Yeah, at 33 and then years old. After that,
yeah, no, and whoopsie doo. Yeah,
hello, the rest is history.
Yeah,
I mean, Diamond Dallas Page won the WCW heavyweight title at 35.
Hey, take that, 2020, suck it.
And but, you know, I know this is the Sadditude era, but I'm not feeling sad.
You're not feeling sad.
Honestly, yesterday I was feeling kind of mad. So I would say I might be
feeling
the bang. You might say that I'm Diamond Dallas Rage.
What? Oh, hit us with it.
Feel bang. The bang.
I was going to use that one next week. This joke's on me.
Diamond Dallas Rage.
I like that.
What made you so rageful?
Well.
Before I go on my tangent about my bummer life.
Well, yeah, go ahead and let it out, bro.
Yeah, dude.
What'd they hit you
get
with?
Get it out.
Well.
Shoot the shit.
Sorry, I'm a little parched.
He's got to wet his whistle.
You can't see it, but the way he's drinking the water.
Oh, brother.
Is he's taking multiple mini sips. and just barely ingesting any water
like a small parakeet.
I wanted to do it like a horse.
But the thing is, I could tell you weren't even drinking that much water. You were just taking small doses.
He just wet his lips.
I'm working the water bottle, brother. We're working here.
This bitch is going to last a month at this rate.
I'd be forever hydrated.
Yeah.
But so I had the double shot.
Nice.
And I like to think that I had two good matches back to back.
Double shot, he means you were two matches last night.
Yes. Yeah. So in the afternoon, I had a tag team match with a fairly gifted tag team.
Right.
And then.
No pun intended.
Yeah, no pun intended. No. Then I made the drive, brother.
Dude.
From Largo, Florida, all the way to Sarasota, the worst place.
Do you think the lady, there was a lady named Sarah who just made soda that Sarah obviously. Soda.
I feel like that's like a Spanish thing. Like Sarasota.
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 I feel like she made chocolate malts. But Sarah chocolate malt didn't roll. Didn't roll off the tongue too well. So they're like Sarah soda.
So you made the drive to Sarasota,
brother. Where?
Tell us about
there.
It.
And then I get there.
Yep.
To Sarasota. I'm fairly level headed guy.
Yeah.
I like to think. You might disagree, but I like to think so. Most people will disagree, but I like to think so.
No, I agree. To disagree,
I'm a little cranky.
Sometimes
I didn't eat.
Oh, that'll do it.
So now you when you're hungry.
Yeah, buddy.
And I'm not. I needed a Snickers.
Hey,
I had two sticks of bubble gum.
Oh, it's not gonna hold you down, brother.
Oh yeah, I remember that. Yeah.
And one of them I chewed for 2 hours because I'm riding in the car going 90, 95 from Largo to Sarasota. Sarasota, please don't. Please don't listen to this.
Yeah.
I'm hauling ass. I'm not going to risk spitting my gum out the window and it fly back into the same window and hit me in the mouth.
Yeah, no. We can't have that.
Or like I'll spit it out and it'll just the side of and now it's stuck to my car. Like I can't.
Yeah. You're going too fast, baby.
So, but I'm angry. So I'm very obnoxiously and aggressively chewing this bubble gum.
Oh, okay. So potential of biting the cheek is what you're saying.
It happened once or twice. It's a whole lot of, it's a whole like body motion.
Nice.
You're doing the epic Aaron.
And then we get to Sarasota, Florida.
Sarasota.
And they got this big ass ring.
Oh,
20 by 20.
Which I was excited about.
Yeah, right. It was the first time I've ever worked in a 20 by 20.
It had ropes.
Real ropes.
Like rope ropes. It had turnbuckles.
Turnbuckles, dude.
Real turnbuckles.
Which you'd be surprised. I've been places that don't have turnbuckles.
Mm.
They got
Alabama, I'm looking at you.
They've got the physical turnbuckle, which is the metal thing that connects the post to the rope.
Right.
But no pads.
What?
They had the electrical tape and they just taped the dog shit
out of this. Yeah,
that's
fuck?
What that like if you look go in the Indies and in Mexico, that's what most of the
yeah. Oh hell no. Can you like you know that the pads for like the New Japan pads?
Oh yeah, like the boxing.
Those are cheap. Those are like $60 for all four.
That's it?
Like for like a generic brand, because I looked into it.
No, I could do that and airbrush it, man.
You already know.
Airbrushing's cool.
Airbrushing's worse.
What made you so
upset?
Rage. Rage in the cage.
Rage.
I'm a little cranky.
Okay.
I'm not eating.
Mm-hmm.
I'm more cranky.
Right.
I did a dive and I'm fat. So like that's hard to do.
Right.
It worked out.
I'm fat and unathletic. So I do this dive.
But you got a character.
Here. And then exactly. Like I'm making up for all of my shortcomings.
Yeah.
Hey.
By being ridiculous all the time.
So go ahead.
I'm starving. Starving Marvin, possibly.
He's Daniel Starving.
I'm starving Daniel Starling.
Starving Daniel Starling. That's what I was going for. Fuck.
Starling.
We got the boys together. Mm. You know, it's myself.
Yep.
Mr. Running Wears.
Right.
Aaron Nova.
Mm-hmm.
The captain.
The captain.
Who is mysterious with his absence.
Guyok.
Hey.
Yeah. The Slug Brothers.
The Slug Brothers.
The Slug.
Yeah. Slug Boys.
The Poison Youth. Robert
Murray. People don't know I'm actually from New York. People don't know that.
Well, suck it, 2020.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You can suck my...
Tail.
Your feathers.
Mother's right behind me. I'm just going to
leave. You know, sometimes when you just feel that you're just in a crossroad, you just got to meet him there.
Yeah. Yeah. So,
but I'm
fasted up, brother.
I'm ready to eat. I know y'all are tired of hearing about me getting... I'm hungry.
A long story.
I'm trying to go eat. And then somebody who will remain nameless...
My bad, Junior.
You...
I don't know. I just threw it out there. Y'all didn't say shit.
What'd you say?
Run a bad Junior.
Just go.
Why'd you say it again?
Run a bad
Junior. Run a bad.
I don't want to eat.
Okay, hold on. Let's pause that. Okay. Run a bad Junior.
Bonnie Bass.
Run a bad Junior.
Bonnie Bad Boomer.
Run a bad Junior. And I don't want to eat. Do not go hand in hand. I've never seen that.
We had the cheese. Agree to go out.
The cheese never goes out.
Cheese is basically Bigfoot.
He is.
You have to actively search for him.
Yes.
And if you're lucky, you might find him.
Yeah. He's like a rare Pokemon.
He's like a double rainbow.
Oh, across the sky.
He was going to go to the brother spot. The bees.
Man. The bees knees. And your boy, Running Bad Junior, blocked you.
So I rode home. In silence.
Was it on the red and yellow Harley?
No, because we couldn't fit all three of us on the red and yellow Harley.
Fair enough.
And then after all that, I drop off.
Run a bad dude.
And me and Azriel Rowe, mm-hmm. who also wanted to go to the bees. Plugged Applebee's, by the way.
Right.
Wonderful spot.
Yep.
Go to this McDonald's. Not a McDowell's, by the way.
Nothing to do with Coming to America. Wonderful movie.
We went to a McDonald's.
Right.
Waited 45 minutes for some chicken McNuggets.
McNuggets.
Jesus, man. So now you're McPissed.
Yeah, it's 2 o'clock in the morning.
Good night.
No, I'm sorry. It's 1 o'clock in the morning.
Shit. Still late. Early.
So I didn't eat that day.
Until 1. Well, yeah, you fasted. You were in a... What do they call that? The cleanse.
Yeah, intermediate fasting.
There you go.
Which I do that. That's the thing is normally I because I'm kind of fat and I'm trying to work it out, which makes me sad. So now I'm back to
I'm sad.
Now I'm back to Johnny be sad.
Okay. I like the switch.
Yep.
So it's like, okay, I fasted today. Now it's time to eat.
Okay.
I can't eat.
Because Run a Bad Junior.
No,
so you were angry because Run a Bad Junior decided not to go eat something, which is obviously some sort of scheme from Satan himself. It was some sort of sorcery, like because that man never passes a meal. Like he's the first one to say, "Let's go out and get something to eat," because he's hungry. You know, so he caused that. He caused your anger, and that's why you were mad. But now we're past it.
Yes, now we're past
you it. Ate in the morning, obviously.
I did. I had my leftover McNuggets.
Okay, so yesterday was yesterday. Today's new day.
It's a new day. Yes, it is.
Don't you dare be sour, brother.
All right.
So back to Martyr. And
sorry about this long-ass episode.
That was a super long story. Gave us nothing. You were just pissed off just that Joe didn't want to get something to eat.
I was just mad.
I don't care.
Okay, lesson learned.
Nobody cares.
Lesson learned, okay?
Nobody cares.
And we were late.
All right, I don't want this podcast to end, and this is the only
story. Well, that's all the time we have for today.
I came here for nothing.
We'll see Martyr next time.
No, a lesson learned, man. If you're going to, if somebody's driving, you have no fucking say in where you go or what you do.
Yeah.
If you're driving, I go where you go, when you go.
Yeah. It's the rules of the road. That's the rules of the road,
brother. That's it. So back to Martyr. Hit him with it. Tell us about it.
Tell him.
So what do you, go
14
back.
14 years 14. Old.
14, yes.
How do you convince your parents, Ma, Pa, I want to wrestle?
Well, I mean, so pretty much everybody in my family, at least on my mom's side, is some type of form of combat sports.
Okay.
In a sense.
Right.
Most of them are boxers. My grandfather, my uncles, my mom, all boxed.
Shit. Nice.
So all I do, I legitimately do come from a fighting family. And then I like this wrestling stuff. My grandmother is the one that got me into it because she fucking loved Eddie Guerrero. She was like, man.
She's got good taste.
Yeah. And the first wrestler I ever saw laid eyes on was La Parca.
Ooh,
fuck. Triple H. Triple A from 1993.
Yeah, La Parca. Was he coming out to the Thriller Jam?
Yes.
Yeah, fucking yes. La Parca.
That's actually my brother's favorite wrestler.
Really?
Yeah.
He's got good taste.
Yeah, La Parca. Yeah, this is like 93.
Right.
In AAA. So, yeah, there's old. Nice. So, I for the longest, I had Vengeance 2003, SummerSlam 2006, and then all these AAA tapes.
Right.
And so, that's the only wrestling that I knew existed, but I know I liked it. I was like, this is awesome. Yeah. This is great. Because, after that, I found myself switching through the channels, and I found Superstars on Sci-Fi 2010.
Hey, watch out, Sci-Fi! They hosted it
when yes. when Christian Cage was the main event.
Oh,
every
fuck.
Night,
Jesus!
When Teddy Long was making tag matches.
Hold on, player!
And I was like, "Whoa, there's more!
There's more people in this shit.
There's more people,
man."
So that's how that was essentially. But as far as convincing my parents, I was like. I was genuinely depressed every time I woke up Christmas Day and there was no ring outside. Okay, because that's all I wanted. That was my list every time.
Because you're still in school.
I'm still in school. I had just entered high school.
Right.
And fuck, man. Like I wanted to do it so bad, and eventually, I was like, I found a place that was local.
Mm-hmm.
And I was like, Mom, I'm going to write these people a letter.
Yeah.
Damn right. If they answer back, do you promise me to at least consider? She's like, sure. And then walked away. And I'm like, all right.
Did she not think it was going to happen?
She didn't think they were going to respond because it's 18 or older.
Yeah, absolutely.
I got a response back. They said, if you, your mother can sign a waiver, you're in, brother. And
what
I'm like,
the fuck?
Yeah. And I'm like, Mom.
Guess what
I got. And she's like, she looks at me, she's like, oh shit,
I gotta follow through on this.
My mom never liked wrestling. She didn't understand it. She just, it was dumb for her.
Yeah, that's my wife. Yeah.
She's like, but I loved it. She knew it was like, at that point, that was the only thing I was consistent with,
because
I was doing boxing, and I did play baseball, because you know, my dad, you know, was in the MLB, so like,
right.
I had baseball, I had basketball, I'd played.
You dabbled in everything.
I dabbled in everything. Yeah. Nothing stuck.
Like, right.
Genuinely nothing stuck. I was like, this all sucks.
Yeah.
Maybe boxing's kind of cool.
But yeah, boxing's pretty cool. Yeah.
So I kept doing it. And finally, my mom was just like, you know what? We'll try it.
Mm.
And I never stopped. Look at that. That's the only thing. I had my last.
So maybe negotiating could work as a child, you know?
Like, well, I mean, I wasn't like, Mom, you better do it, you know, because I would have died.
Tested your mom. You're like, Mom, if I can get this, what's
up? I made her a deal. I was like, listen, let me lay down the law, okay? If they respond, can you do this for me?
And did you do it in the Godfather?
The Godfather. I'll make you an offer.
Yeah, I'm going to make you an offer. Kind of froze.
I'll make you an offer that you can't refuse.
Yeah.
honestly, it was the best decision of my life, but also, like, the hardest.
Hardest being how?
So probably like 2 months into my training, I could just tell everybody hated. Like people hated me. I don't know why.
Mm.
I was 14. I had no concept of social skills. I was just like, hey, buddy. Like the first, okay, to all the vets out there, I'm sorry. the first thing I did, I didn't wipe my feet. I didn't shake nobody's hand.
Of course not. Yeah, and you're 14 years old.
I climbed the top rope and I swantoned myself. That was the first thing I did when I got into a wrestling ring.
Let me get this out the way.
that was the first thing. And, like, I don't know. I could always tell there was this vibe that I had. People had something against me.
Yeah.
And it was just the vibe got so bad because I just wanted to learn. I just wanted to be happy and wrestle.
You also have grown men. right?
Yeah, he's a grown
and
human.
These are grown guys, right, with a 14-year-old kid. I'm not going to sit here and hate on you because a 14-year-old kid you got to deal with differently than your adult.
Yeah.
You know that the 14-year-old kid is A, mentally, he's not really going to be emotionally ready for wrestling.
He's not grown up yet. Yeah, his frontal lobe hasn't developed.
Exactly. So he's technically just going to be in there for repetition, just to learn the shit. But don't worry about like him and his because your kids are brutally honest.
Yeah.
Yes.
So kids are going to tell you what you don't want to hear.
Oh, kids, man. And dogs are the most honest things on the planet.
It was a downward spiral because I found out I was banned from two promotions before I even debuted.
Damn.
I was banned just because...
Jesus.
Just people had a problem with me.
Are we naming names?
Yeah, we're dropping names. Do we drop them or you don't... Are they relevant in wrestling still?
Yeah, but...
So we can't drop names. We don't want to get blackballed.
I mean, it's not... It's just like... not anymore. So it's like...
Oh, now he's...
Because they actually, funny enough, they hit me up like not too long ago. Hey, okay. You want to come in? Okay. But, it was at the time, you know, it was just like, I didn't even know until my first match. We were like, hey, I would love to, you know, travel over there and set up the ring and learn.
Yeah.
And they were like, yeah, you can't. And I'm like, why? Because, you know, you just didn't make a good impression on blood. This.
Oh, that was the excuse.
You didn't make a good impression or whatever. But it was really just because people just did not take a liking to me at all. And I just didn't understand, but
what are excuses that you've heard from people? And like bitching, like give us some of the negative shit some people have said about you
in general, or just during that time
from 14 to now.
And again, I don't know if it's just the way I come off or, you know, I'm very, very, full of myself,
mm-hmm.
or it'll get to the point where I'm, you know, very braggadocious, not braggadocious, but I think. Even if I don't say it, I think that I'm better than people and all that stuff. And in a sense, I think I can understand where that comes from just because I'm so passionate about what I want to do. And like, this is where I want to go. This is what I want to do. I think you're good at this and you're good at that. And even when I say nice things, it sounds like I'm demeaning them
with
those nice things.
Right.
Somehow you say like I'm taking still like
this,
an asshole.
This veteran role. Like I'm not, I'm just genuinely complimenting
you. Hey kid, you're good, but I'm great.
No. And, I've heard that you know, I'm just a green kid that doesn't know what he's talking about. Like you could ask like no
you still hear that?
No, not anymore.
Okay.
But at the time, like when I was wearing the kick pads,
kick pad martyr.
Like
man, everybody went through that phase though, man.
Not everybody. But the thing is I don't know, I guess I had this reputation. It was weird because I horrible at social skills. I was not a good person to talk to as far as if we had a conversation, I felt we bonded over something, it was easy to talk to me. But if I didn't know you, it would be like...
You'd come off arrogant type of deal.
Not even arrogant. I don't, maybe I have, but I wouldn't know how to talk to you. Like I was always bad with that. I was always... Okay.
I'm the opposite. Like I can feel somebody out and then right off the rip, I'd be like, okay.
Hey, so. This is how I should speak to them. No, I was just like... Hi.
My name is Robert Martyr, and I am fucking great in the ring.
I fully admitted that I was bad. I thought I knew I was bad, and I wanted. That's why I did the whole black trunks, black gear.
Johnny B. Sad.
Because I had felt because I had done the mask thing. I had wrestled in a mask. I'd had 12 matches in
fire.
A year. So I'd wrestled one time.
Masks are cool. I don't give a shit.
I wrestled once a month for a year. That was my first year in wrestling.
What was the name under the mask?
Pegasus Dark.
Fuck yeah. Fuck yeah.
Pegasus Dark.
Have you ever thought about bringing them back? That's so cool. Pegasus Dark?
Yeah.
That's fire as shit.
And I think the
easy
highlight
merch.
The highlight of that man's career was wrestling Danny Burch. Wrestled Danny Burch in a...
So your failed character did more than half the characters out here now.
More than I did.
I got tapped by him too. That was the finish.
He nice.
Like clotheslined the shit out of me and crossfaced me. But it was, but besides the point, I think as far as we getting, you know, sad, it weighed on me.
Yeah.
Because I just felt like the world hated me. And
absolutely.
Then that reflected on that hate that I felt, I reflected it on people.
Right, right.
And like when people called me, because I went as Young and Bitter, that wasn't a gimmick to me. Like I was genuinely bitter at everything, because I felt like I had worked so hard just to get a little teensy bit of respect, because that's all I wanted. I didn't even want notoriety. I just wanted respect for my peers.
Right.
And that really weighed on me, because I was like, if I don't even have the respect of the people I'm working with, why am I doing this?
Right.
And it really sucked. And I was very angry. I was very upset. I wanted nothing to do with myself, because I felt like there's something wrong with me. There's something I'm not doing right, or there's something that's not connecting with people.
I want to hit with like an exercise, okay? Think back to when you first started training.
Yeah.
And you were in that that vulnerable stage where you almost wanted to call it quits, right? Because nobody, either for any reason, whether it was just they didn't want to help you, or you just felt like you weren't getting good, or you weren't learning. And we're just going to go down. Starting with Daniel Starling, I want you to think of a few words of how you felt from the very beginning. Nothing else, just a few words of how you felt from the very beginning.
Well, mine's kind of funky, so...
Hit us with it.
Because mine wasn't during training. Mine was actually after I had debuted. I had been wrestling for, like 4 months, five months.
Right.
And I felt... To coin a phrase, I was overworked, underappreciated, undervalued, and just kind of like I was just there.
Right.
Yeah.
Like I was, nobody wanted to see me there. Right. They wanted to see me make the other guy there.
Right.
Yeah.
And that's all fine and good, but I needed my day in the sun, and it never... It never came.
And it's again in the promo.
On
Robert. Like, again, in the thing we did, like, there was a point, you can ask him, there was a point where, like, I was literally trying to, like, put my body through hurt to show that I'm, like, willing to, like,
do anything. Right, like a sacrifice. Yeah, fuck yeah.
Like, literally, I was trying to find any way I could to just take the biggest bumps.
What was yours?
Some
words, just for the beginning.
In general, longing. Man, that's a good exercise. But basically, I would say the biggest one would be ambition loss.
Oh man,
my loss of ambition.
Right.
I think the thing that's always driven me was the potential to be better.
Right.
And I felt I had reached that limit.
Oh, okay.
Because of, you know, the people I was being trained by or surrounding myself with. And there was like, that's why I left the original school. Cause I was like,
I can't grow anymore.
I can't grow anymore.
Yeah.
And I'm barely a year in. Right. I should not be feeling that way.
Right.
So I finally made that switch, and then things started going up. It's going up. Spent two more years at the school, went through a couple of trainers. Mm-hmm. And then I started like 2020. Was the year, early March was the year I thought everything was going to click together. And when COVID hit, man, I can tell you that was like the worst time of my life, period.
Right.
I felt I had lost at the time 25 pounds. I'd shaved 25 pounds. I had worked harder than I had ever had in my life for Mania weekend. I was like, Mania weekend, I'm going to do everything they said I couldn't.
Right.
And then it was like no Mania weekend. I was like,
oh man, that was a blow. Dude, yeah, that shit sucked.
Like, I literally called Chris Bay, who's like he's like my brother, like legitimately, like that guy is so close to me. I called him crying.
Right.
Because I was like, dude,
this was it.
This was it. Like, what am I going to do? And I think through that last year, I went to every show I could. As soon as I went immediately, I made sure. I like ran cried like every day out going outside and just running, making sure I stayed in shape, because mentally I finally felt like, yes, it's happening. Everything's coming together. All the hard work's paying off.
Right.
All the sacrifices paying off. Cause I like in a sense, and this might be a little too sad, but I feel like I sacrificed time with my family to do this.
Absolutely. You know? Oh, yeah.
Like, you, you can't get that back. I feel really bad most of the time.
It's hard.
It's the sacrifice. The one thing that we were always told, man, right before in the orientation was, there's going to be a lot of sacrifice you're going to make. And by sacrifice, they always mean family, man. Yeah. Whether it's your parents, your kids, your wife, it could be brothers and sisters, you know. You're not ready for that. And at first, you're just like, yeah, whatever, anything for wrestling, no, right?
For wrestling. But man. But I mean, it's still that, but it's just like, you know, when my dad calls me, you know, I try to call him late at night and he's like, sounds disappointed that I'm even calling.
Yeah, yeah.
He's like, so why did it take you this long? Or why, you know, I just want to grow a relationship with you, son, all this stuff. And I'm like, in my head, I have a valid reason, but I don't think it's a good enough reason. You know,
right.
I'm so focused on just making everything work, trying to fly as much as possible, trying to network, book, all of this stuff, the promo, like I've spent like,
it's exhausting, man. Spent
so much time on it. Yeah. And I'm glad it paid off. It just sucks when, you know, like I feel like I'm ignoring them. Mm-hmm. And I don't want them to think that I'm like saying, you know, fuck you guys, wrestling only.
Right.
You know, my grandma ain't getting any younger.
Yeah.
You know, like it could be, you know, it could be tomorrow. Like,
yeah, life's not guaranteed, brother.
It's like guaranteed. Yeah. So it stuff like that weighs on me. And, especially like when I was really doing that whole Young and Bitter thing, it was really a thing where I was genuinely depressed.
Right.
Like genuinely depressed.
Yeah.
And I was working hurt because I don't know if you guys remember. Do you remember, Starling, when I had hurt my neck? I don't know if I met you, but
no, I don't think I knew you at that point.
No, yeah, you didn't know me at that point. But I took a hurricane run in training and I almost broke my neck.
Oof.
Yeah. And basically my neck swole enough to where it stabilized my neck not to snap. And then they took me to the ER, and then I was fine. But they said, there's a good chance you might have repercussions on your back. That ended up fucking my back up horribly. So I had this thing called interior pelvic tilt where your hips shift forward and your back is like a duck. Like your
back is like damn. This.
So I was walking like that. And then on top of that, I was training and wrestling like that.
Shit.
And during that time, I was in high school dealing with all the high school stuff.
God, yeah. Super overwhelming, obviously.
Super overwhelming. And I was doing boxing, and then I was doing amateur wrestling, and I was doing pro wrestling, and then I was
sacrifice times five.
And then I was doing my art, and then I was doing all this stuff.
While trying to be a kid.
While trying to be a kid. Yeah. And it was like, at wrestling, I can't be a kid, because then I'm going to get shit on, all this shit. I'm, you know, I'm nothing. Like, this kid doesn't know what he's talking about. He's full of himself. All this stuff.
Yeah.
It's just the negativity weighed on me so much because I felt I needed to prove myself to people that didn't even care.
Right. Right. Yeah. Dude, I hear you wholeheartedly.
I had to prove myself to people that couldn't give a shit less.
Yeah.
And it was like, that was so mentally tacked because I was like, that's why I would almost break down before matches because I was so scared of being ridiculed.
Right.
And because I, you know, people say, oh, he's too prideful of his work. I think that's where that comes from.
Right.
Why I'm so focused on the wrestling aspect of it.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that's, in a sense, I'm kind of intellectualizing why I like that type of wrestling.
Right.
It's because when I started, I didn't want to be a technical wrestler.
Right.
That wasn't what I wanted. I kind of wanted to be like a Seth Rollins or something like that. But I wanted to make sure my work was so perfect that nobody could judge me.
Right.
Even regardless of my age.
Yeah.
And I think that's what made me be like, okay, maybe. And then I just started liking it. I just started enjoying the science behind it. But I think that stemmed from like my work in the ring needs to be so good that no matter how old I am, or, you know, what they think I am, they can't deny how good I am in the ring.
Correct.
And and I'm not saying that as like a boast, but that was my mentality. I was like, if I can even at least get a little bit of respect there, maybe it will lead to something.
Right.
And I felt when I didn't have any respect, it was like, It was horrible, man. I don't know.
It's horrible. I mean, the sacrifice is in it all. I mean, Starling would be one of them that had to make that sacrifice to come down here where you got no family.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And you're just like, Starling, obviously, another story where you're making that sacrifice, living what's called the dream, right, Starling?
Well, that's kind of, I don't want to say I lucked out that way, but, you know, when you're on the road and you're doing shows, you don't get to see your family.
Mm-hmm.
Well, I learned that from the second I started the wrestling school because I moved here by myself.
Mm-hmm.
And my dad was there for my debut. And my mom didn't see me wrestle up until, I want to say, November of 2019.
Mm-hmm.
My brother, who I talk to every day, multiple times a day, like I could talk to him all day and not repeat the same subject twice, and we'd be laughing every time. And he didn't see me wrestle until about 2 months ago.
Oh, shit. Okay. Yeah.
Like, he had never, since I started wrestling, which I moved here in January of 2019. I went home for my birthday that year, my 21st birthday. And then I went home during the pandemic, and those were the only two times I had seen him. Sorry, there was one other time when my Uncle Mike passed away.
Mm-hmm.
But those were the three times I had seen him in two, now going on 3 years. So it's hard being away from your family.
But, absolutely, man. That's your support.
But I lucked out because my family's so... My dad was a baseball player.
That's crazy. Mine was too.
Yeah, my dad almost signed with the Red Sox, and then he blew out his knee.
What the fuck? Well, yeah. Dan, real quick, not to cut you off. My dad played for the Red Sox.
Are you serious?
I'm not even joking.
That's so weird. Cool.
He played for the Red Sox in 2001.
That's so cool.
For two seasons, and then got drafted to the, minor league.
I don't have a father.
You know what?
Shit.
Let's...
Well, we just bonded over our dad's playing baseball, and you're just like, I don't have
a dad. It's a cutoff, brother. It's a cutoff.
Why are you trying to top our sadness?
Bring the heat, boss, you know?
You're trying to top our sadness. Jesus. It's not tolerated.
No, he kind of won there. He won the sad.
Shit.
Man.
But, yeah, so my dad played baseball, and he played every sport, so he kind of gets it. Like, my dad always told me, when he was playing sports, he would get a girlfriend in the off season, and then the second season started up. He's like, "Oh no, honey, you gotta
damn
go
right."
On to the next one.
Yeah, and no shit, there would be a next one.
Damn right.
And you know, my Uncle Steve and my Uncle Mike were that way until my Uncle Mike found the love of his life, and my dad thought he did, and that got sad. and my Uncle Steve is Santa.
Hey,
but
yeah.
And so they get it. My brother's a rock star, so he gets it.
Right.
Like, you got to go out there and you got to do what you want.
Absolutely.
You have to go out there and not do what you want, but you have to, if this is what you want to do, you have to go full force.
Right.
Like, my family understands it, and they're huge wrestling people.
Right.
Like, I've said it before, my mom and my dad went to the Scope every Thursday to watch Mid-Atlantic.
Right.
Every Thursday. It ran in the Norfolk Scope, which is a big arena. It's like maybe 10,000 people, maybe.
So like the Sun Dome here or whatever that's called now.
Yeah, kind of.
Yeah.
But every Thursday, sold out.
Shit.
For Mid-Atlantic, Dusty and Flair.
Hey.
You know, the Rock and Roll in the Midnight.
Yeah.
So they're big wrestling people. My brother grew up on wrestling.
Mm-hmm.
That's how I got introduced to it.
Right.
So, like, especially, like, I went to MLW, myself and Robert Martyr, like, not just both. Me.
I went as long, was with did not go, I don't wrestle, go.
Not yet. We're getting Isaiah back in the way. Yeah,
by the end of the year.
My brother's favorite wrestler was La Parca.
Dude, we met him.
So, when I got to tell brother that I got to meet La Parca.
The original.
And not only that.
The OG.
I told LaPark, the first thing I said to him was, hey, I love your work. You're my brother's favorite wrestler. Because it was cool for me to meet him.
But your brother would have.
But I had to, like, so there's something in my head where it's like, I know he doesn't care because he's been told this by everyone on the planet.
Right, right.
But to me, it was important that he knows that he was my brother's favorite wrestler.
Right. Yeah.
I met Ronnie Garvin at a Legends luncheon.
Mm-hmm.
My mom loved Ronnie Garvin. I had to tell.
Right.
Yeah. Because I still have a very small town mindset.
Right.
Where it's like everything to me, things like that are important.
So what's your meet? Who do you want to meet? Well, who would be your guy? Is it the jet flying?
Kiss stealing?
I wouldn't know what to do. if I met the nature boy, I wouldn't know what to do.
I did meet him.
I met him too.
I met him at, well, I was doing extra work at the PC.
Ah, nice.
And this is such a small story, but it's so funny. Everybody was like, you know, super respectful. You know, it's the Fed.
Of course, yeah.
You don't want to say nothing out of line.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know what the fuck got into me that day. And I was just like,
fuck everyone here.
I literally walked up and like, hey, I'm Robert. Nice to meet you. I said, hey, Rick, nice to meet you. I'm Robert. Hey, Rick. I don't know what. And he looked at me for a second. I was like, oh, fuck. It was like, ha, kid, I'm surprised you know my name. And then walked away. And then started laughing. He was like losing it. He was laughing so hard. He struts away. It was fucking.
Drops his fucking elbow on that jacket.
He was legit laughing. And everybody in the room laughed after that, you know, because they were right. Like, oh, shit. Wow. But, like, just a little moment like that, dude, that he, you can just tell he's just having the time of his life all the time.
Always.
He's always.
He's grateful just to be kicking still. I mean, because the room wrestlers drop like flies nowadays, man.
Well, that's the key to life.
To live it.
I don't know shit. About anything.
About fuck.
Yeah, I don't know shit about fuck.
Yeah. I met Ric Flair at the Hogan's Beach thing when it first opened up here in Clearwater.
Did you also meet Hogan?
Can I tell you a funny story? My coworker tells me this. This is what my coworker tells me. Oh, you're a wrestling fan? Absolutely. Yeah, I'm friends with one of the Bushwhackers. Everybody says that, right? You know, I'm friends with this guy, I'm friends with that guy. Mm-hmm. I could get you in and you can be some of the guys. You know, blowing smoke up my ass, right? Whatever.
He's brothering you.
Yeah, brothering me up, man. We get to Hogan's Beach or whatever. We're there. And I'll never forget. It was like a, what do they call it? Where the people wear the mask and shit. The
Mardi Gras?
No, kind of like that, but it's the more, the ball, the fucking, what is that called?
Is it like the Guy Fawkes mask, kind of?
Like you wear like hat, like the guys wear masks, the girls wear masks, but with dresses and shit, like a gala.
Oh, like that one movie with Tom Cruise.
The Eyes Wide Shut thing.
Yeah, like very type weird. Of like
very odd mask.
Yeah, like dress up type of deal.
Like,
so I had my slacks, right, with my dress shoes.
Yeah.
And I had my black button up with my black tie. And then I had my, I made a makeshift Eddie Guerrero, like the, you know, the poncho thing that they wear, but mine was like fucking glittered up, and I airbrushed El Cabron on the back of it, and I had my La Parca mask. So I was getting like, I walked in there, and that was my gimmick, brother.
Yeah,
I'm walking in there, and first and foremost, everybody thought I was famous, so everybody kept on asking me if I was a wrestler. So flattered, but more fattered because I'm fat. So when I'm there, I get the shoulder. Hey, man, you got to take off the mask. And I was like, for what? He was like, well, because we'd go meet the guys. And I was like, bullshit, right? So I'm like, yeah, whatever, man. Take the mask off, put it in my pocket. We get in there, and sure enough, there was everybody. There was Flair. There was Beefcake. There was Hogan.
There was the Booty Man.
The Honky Tank. The Honky Tonk Man. They had, who else? There was a bunch of, at that time, there was a bunch of TNA guys. There was like Austin Aries and Matt Morgan. Oh, wow. So
a blueprint.
We're there, and I'm with my brother-in-law, my wife, and I'm like, you already know, right? Yeah. So
styling, I'm just, profiling.
Dude, I'm just like wallflowering it up, you know, leaning against the wall, trying to keep it cool.
What do you do?
I'm keeping it cool, right?
This is like God.
So they had, and that room is weird because that room had their own dance floor and shit, right?
Oh, wow. Yeah.
So it was a party amongst parties. So I'm there and I'm just chilling, whatever. And Austin Aries comes up to me and he just says something about dancing or whatever. And I, you know me, I'm a charming individual.
Very much so.
I was like, I'm about to become best friends with Austin Aries. So I shoot the shit and we're talking back and forth. And my brother tries to get around me. And who other than Ric Flair was sitting at a table, and my brother-in-law tries to go around that table, and he steps. Ric Flair just got up and he left to go, I don't know where he went.
To do Flair things.
To do Flair, obviously. Woo! So my brother-in-law goes around his table and steps on Flair's jacket and tears the jacket. I look at my brother-in-law directly in the eyes, and I was like, did you just, what the fuck? And he's like, nobody, because the music, it was loud, you know? But we heard it because we were right there. And I was like, yo, you tore his jacket. That's got to be at least $1 million, right?
So, that's from Michael's in Kansas City. That's I know where that jacket's from.
And that was how, like, I got my brush of fame with Ric Flair, because my brother-in-law tore his jacket. But for the most part, I mean, it was.
Did you tell him?
Absolutely not. We left immediately. Yep. I was like, that's our cue. It's time to get out of here, brother. I'm not trying to get up. So my brother-in-law tried to pick a fight with Matt Morgan.
No fucking way.
Yeah, he did. So first and foremost, Matt Morgan walks in and fucking has to get put his head down to get in the fucking room, right?
Now we're talking about the DNA of TNA. That's right. Matt Morgan.
Yo, so he's staring my brother-in-law down hard. My brother-in-law looks at me, he's like, what the fuck is this guy's problem? I was like, first of all, he's 7 feet tall. So if he has a problem, guess what?
He can have that problem.
He can have all the problems he wants. So that was how we got our brush of fame with the Flair, brother. So
wow.
It was sad. It was a sad moment when we tore Ric Flair's jacket. I'm sorry. If somehow this gets back to him, my apologies, dude. We're 45 minutes in. We're still not sad enough.
I don't know if it would be Flair, to be honest with you.
You can't beat Flair, man.
I love Ric Flair. If you couldn't tell, I rip off all of his shit.
You know, it's funny you say that, because when we were watching your match back, I was telling, it was my wife, my brother-in-law, and myself, we were watching the match, and I was like, Starling is so WCW.
It's not even funny.
I love it. I love it.
It's not even funny.
The fucking, the way he like just cowards out like to the ropes and everything is just magic.
So beautiful.
I fucking love it, man.
But I guess for me, and I know this sounds a little crazy, but probably be Daniel Bryan, man.
Bryan, okay.
Just because
I think that's Nova's answer.
Three, four weeks ago, I was deadlifting, and I had finally hit 325 on the deadlift. I was like, yes, I'm lifting it, right? I maxed out. I'm like, yes, I got it. Let me take this in before I drop it.
Yeah.
And I look to my right, and Daniel Bryan is sitting there doing a yoga pose, just looking right at me.
No, at your best. At your absolute best.
And I'm like,
yeah.
And I'm like, what? And I drop the weight.
Oh, shit.
And I drop it like so right, so uncool, like so recklessly. And he just looks away, and I'm like,
don't look at me, man.
Is that Daniel Bryan?
Take it easy,
DB. Is that the American dolphin? The American dragon. Because here's the thing, man, is when I saw him versus Homicide, that match was like, okay, I got to do this. Homicide was like, okay, we doing this shit, man.
It was a post on Facebook where they were saying
I just
that
get chills around him. It's weird because I met him like four times. It just
they did the choose your one's got to go type of deal.
Yeah,
yeah.
I want to meet Kurt too, so bad.
AJ Styles, Kurt Angle, Daniel Bryan, and I forgot who the fourth guy was.
Well, he's got to go then,
right?
It's Daniel Bryan, Kurt Angle, and who?
AJ Styles and somebody else. I forgot who it was. It was another guy who was like, fuck.
One's got to go?
One's got to go.
Man, everybody's going to hate me.
Hit it.
Everybody's going
to
fucking
hate me. I tried to go against it. I was like, I like Daniel Bryan. And I would have said Kurt, but
I love Styles so much. But
Kirk Angle, baby.
I take him out.
You take Styles out? I take
Styles out just because of one reason.
Late bloomer type of deal?
No. One just because of one reason. I think that
he's been blooming since 2000.
Yeah, he's been good. He's always been good. I don't think I've ever seen a bad AJ Styles match. But
never.
I also
never
don't think I've ever seen a bad Bryan Danielson match either. So I guess I'm just leaning in just based off
preference, really.
Preference, but also you can argue that he's had that amount of classics, but I think for AJ, there's certain years you pick.
Right.
Over others.
Fair enough.
And then if you look at Bryan Danielson, at least when he was doing that, 2002 to 2008, all bangers.
Yeah.
Every year.
Yeah.
Had at least three match of the year matches. If you really, really look through, he had 10 matches with Nigel McGuinness.
Yeah.
Two of them were mediocre. He had he had, I don't know, 40-minute classics with Roderick Strong.
Yeah.
And then he had another trilogy. And then he had another trilogy with Austin Aries. And then the matches with Samoa Joe. And then the matches with Homicide. And then the matches with Jack Evans, who was
a dream match you would like to see?
Ever?
Yes, anybody.
I thought
anybody,
he was about to say Jeff
Jarrett. Past and present. Everybody together.
You know what's never happened?
Hit me with it.
Fit Finley versus Kurt Angle has never happened. I looked that up. It's never happened. And they were both in the company in the same time. Fit Finley versus
That would have been interesting.
Fit Finley versus Kurt Angle has never happened.
Huh.
That's always been like a dream match for me. Like, it's
I like Finley, man.
Different styles of wrestling. Yeah. It's like they're ones the
Finley
the
versus Taz would have been interesting.
Finley versus Taz would have been crazy. But I also want to see, like, in general, I would have loved to see...
My tag match was...
Roderick Strong versus Masato Tanaka was something I've always wanted to see, too.
It happened. It didn't happen.
No, it didn't.
Okay,
It did not happen.
All right.
It was supposed to happen, but it didn't.
Mine would be tag match. It would be the Usos versus the Briscoes versus... And it was a triple threat, and it was versus... It was somebody else, but we just watched. And I posted it on social media, and I completely forgot because I ain't worth a damn. It was the Usos versus the Briscoes versus...
Darling Daniel Starling.
And Robert Martyr, baby. Oh, yeah. No, it was three guys because I want to say I'm a huge fan of tag team wrestling.
I love the Briscoes, man.
Terry Funk ain't nowhere no mouthpiece. I love the Briscoes, and I truly believe that the Usos are on their way to be the greatest tag team of all time, man. Those guys, they just... And they don't... They still haven't... They haven't even peaked. I feel like right now they're just...
2017 was a crazy year for them. Yeah. 2017 was crazy. But honestly, Lynn, like...
You know what? Starling's going to hit it with it.
Go ahead.
Huh? You're going to hit us with a dream match, brother? I know you're thinking about it.
No, I honestly, I moved from that because you were talking about how great the Usos were, and you said they could be some of the greatest. And I... So here's my... I've got a weird thing.
Hit me with it.
If someone says they're the greatest...
Mm.
I put them in early 90s WCW and see if they would stand
up. Of course.
That's in my mindset.
Of course.
In early 90s. So are we talking like 92?
92 to 96.
96.
Okay.
Could we have had, like, are the Usos as good as the Steiner brothers?
I don't think they have to be as good.
Or as good as Harlem Heat.
I would love, okay. Ooh. Yeah. That actually is pretty decent. I think if you want to put somebody in an era to try them, like really, really, really try them, I think it would be that era.
Yeah.
But I also think, even though the quote-unquote gimmicks weren't popularized, I think late 70s. Late 70s was a crazy era.
Late 70s
was a crazy era.
It was a lot.
Like 77 to like 84 was a crazy era. Because that's when, like, Harley and Flair.
Was a lot going on.
Man, there was a lot going on.
So much.
Bruiser Brody was murking people. You know? Like,
yes, he fucking was, man.
But I guess back to getting sad.
Get back to sad.
Get back to sad.
We got 7 minutes to make you want to cry.
We got to speed fat the set.
Do it.
But, all right, yeah.
Go. Let's get sad. And 3, 2, 1. Go. I want you guys to give some advice. All right. Give some advice to I hate the word Green Boy, because really Green Boy goes it Green Boy is for anyone who is not a Hall of Famer. Okay. If you're a Hall of Famer, you're not a Green Boy. And even then, you're still a Green Boy to the Hall of Fame because you just got it in.
Got inducted. Yeah. So
you're still a Green Boy.
Yeah. You're green unless you're Buddy Rogers.
Exactly, yeah. So give some advice, some words of encouragement, man, that you wish you would have received when you were training, when you were just in your funk, man, where you just felt like you were just about to call it quits.
You want to go first, Arlen?
Yeah, this is something that I wish I would have known when I first started wrestling was if you want to be a wrestler, if you want to be a successful professional wrestler, that's defined by different meanings.
Correct.
Yeah. Not everybody's success is being the WWE champion.
Correct.
But the thing that's helped me recently, last 6-8 months, is what would you have wanted to see as a kid?
Right.
When you're a kid and you made your creative character wrestler in the video games, who did you make?
I mean,
because that's ideally that's who you wanted to be.
Yeah.
Ahmed Johnson.
Who didn't want to be with the thigh pads?
God, they were so cool, man. Fuck.
Like, my mother always tells me this. She says, you didn't make, because my brother would make like 6 or 7 different characters and he had this whole like fantasy in his head.
Right.
And I would just make me.
Right.
You know, like same height, same weight, that this is who I am.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, I get a little colorful.
Of course. Give it the razzle dazzle.
A little razzle dazzle.
Get that gear we can't afford.
Brother.
Top dollar gear.
Yeah.
So she always told me, she's like, this is who you wanted to be. Do that.
Right.
Don't overthink it.
Mm-hmm.
Don't. Well, you know, this guy's doing this, and what if I don't want to step on toes?
Because if you're doing that, it goes on to where if you're playing, like you just said, be who you are and what you wanted to be, because guess what, man? You're not going to struggle because you're being you.
Yeah.
That's, it comes
natural. You understand that personality because that's who you are.
Correct.
You are that. We're going to
break kayfabe here.
Here we go. The brother.
No fish out decision.
Mm. I'm not an 80s rock star.
Right.
Damn.
I know that's hard to believe.
But you play one on TV.
I play one. I'm not really a dick.
Right.
To some people.
Wait, right.
But I play one on TV.
You're damn right.
Because that was so cool.
Yeah.
My favorite wrestlers as a kid is so weird. It was Sting.
Yep.
The Nature Boy Ric Flair.
Yep.
Shawn Michaels.
Yep.
And The Undertaker.
God damn, what a good comp. That's the Four Horsemen.
They're all characters.
Yeah.
The work rate's there.
Mm-hmm.
But they were all characters first.
Right.
Yeah.
I know it's weird. Like, what the fuck do you take from The Undertaker?
Right.
Like, I try to take a little bit of all of that. You know, I take my Great American Bash 89 Sting.
Mm.
I take mom hair Flair.
Hey.
I take my new generation Shawn Michaels.
Right.
And I take my debut new generation Undertaker.
Right.
I can do the Dragon Ball Fusion dance.
Yeah. That's right.
And that's the darling Daniel Starling.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I found that's what I wanted to be as a kid.
Right.
So that's what I do now. So just don't forget why you do this.
Right.
Don't forget who you wanted to be.
Because you're not under a contract, okay?
No.
I don't know if anybody's listening here. Hold on, let me.
Is this thing on?
You're not under contract. So if you got a character and something you want to put together.
Nobody should be stopping you.
Dude, put it, yeah. What? Yeah. And if they don't want you to use it their promotion, take it else to another promote. Because, hey, newsflash, there's a billion promotions out there, okay?
And none of them
put yourself
pay.
Out. Yeah, put yourself out there, man. Stop limiting yourself.
I mean, I guess for me. Don't confuse passion with principle.
That went a little over my head. Explain.
So don't confuse passion with principle means that you shouldn't let your passion override your overall goal. Because that may sound weird, but in my case was I wanted to do so many things at once. I wanted to do everything at once. I wanted to be good in the ring. I wanted to be a good character. I wanted to be this. But my overarching goal was to get more matches at the time.
Right.
So take it day by day.
Right.
I was so ambitious to just do everything. And yeah. I felt like I wasn't doing enough all the time. Like I would eat like today. I mean, actually, yesterday, I was like, man, I only wrestled 2 matches in a day. I literally crossed my mind. I was
fucking
like,
green boy.
Fucking green boy. Like, but it's like, enjoy.
You only made a double shot.
Enjoy the good moments. Enjoy the ride. Because even when it sucks, it's going to get better. It's going to get better every time. And I wish I would have just told myself that you just need to stay patient. Because patience, right, man. I had no patience, man. I had zero patience.
Betty's just telling us to take it home, fellas.
If I could chime in on what Mark said before we take it home,
because Betty ain't shit.
I'm sorry. I shouldn't have done any of this.
Jesus.
I shouldn't have come over. What am I here
for? Yeah, no, fuck that. I'm going to give her a fucking clothesline later.
A big old Ronnie Bass.
But
like Martyr was like, yes, wrestling can be awful sometimes.
Horrible. But horrible place.
A bad day in wrestling is better than any job on the planet.
Absolutely.
A bad wrestling day is better than any 9-to-5.
Yep.
Absolutely. It's better than any salaried office position.
Yep.
That's why we're doing this for a living.
The goal is to do this for a living. And if you are, man, what a dream.
That's the American dream.
And also,
Duff the road.
Yeah.
Baby.
Duff the road.
And also, just one more quick little thing. Work in the ring where you want to be.
Yeah.
Devon told me that.
Devon was like,
if you want to work for the E, wrestle like you're in the E.
Yeah.
If you want to work for Japan, wrestle like you're in Japan. If you want to work in Mexico, wrestle like you're in Mexico.
Yeah.
It's going to help you simulate what it's like to be at the places you want to go.
Now that's wonderful advice.
I like that.
But I'm fucked on that one because I can't wrestle like in 1989 WCW.
You're closer, you want to be in WCW.
You're closer than most people get.
Yes, I can't go to center stage and wrestle in the blue ring with the yellow circle. I can't.
Well, we tried, right? Guys, where can we find you guys again?
At the Stretcher RM on Twitter, a.k.a. Dean Delenko. And follow me on Instagram at Death to Martyr. Robert Martyr is also my Facebook. Hit it, Starling.
On Facebook, it is The Darling Daniel Starling. Starling. Starling with an A, not an E. It's not Sterling. It's Starling.
Sterling.
No. Starling. On Instagram, if you would like to look at my pretty face and my sometimes when my belly's out.
Awesome tan. It's
Daniel Starling, 98. Wonderful year for wrestling.
Yep.
And on Twitter, if I decide to tweet, which I'm very bad at, follow me on Twitter. If you follow me, I might use it.
I'm actually active on there. It's my main platform.
I will be active if you follow me at Dan Starling 98.
All right, guys.
Yeah.
Thank you guys for being here.
Hopefully, I want to do this again.
I'm game, brother. We're cashing out.
Yeah.
Until next time.
Until next time.
On behalf of myself, I Reyes, Mr. Robert Martyr, and Daniel Starling. My truck boiling in X-ray 985. Should come back up 10-4.